Will you all please stand? Please be seated. Let us ask the Lord's help and blessing upon this sacred yet happy occasion. Most holy Lord God, help us to come before thee now, as we meet together on this occasion, and our two dear friends who seek to be joined together in holy matrimony. Lord, do be with them and be their helper. Oh, do help them, Lord, as they say their vows before thee, before this congregation, and before others also listening. Oh, Lord, do remember them in all that has been behind the service, the disappointments, the various griefs they have borne, but now, Lord, brought to this time, and may they prove it to be of thee. As for God, his way is perfect. And, O Lord, do abundantly bless them. Remember the dear families also, those in the chapel building, and we think of many now listening, unable to come through the various restrictions imposed upon us at this time. Lord, thou knowest all about these things. So, Lord, do be our helper, and come and glorify thy name, and pardon and forgive our every sin. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. As you will all appreciate, with the various restrictions due to the COVID pandemic, we are following the advice that there should be no congregational singing. For each of the hymns, I will read the first verse, and then the organist will play the same amount of verses found in each hymn for us to follow in our hearts and minds. And we shall remain seated for all the hymns. So we commence with the first hymn, and again, for those who are listening, I will announce the hymn numbers as they are found in Gadsby's selection, along with a tune found in the companion tune book. Our opening hymn from Gadsby's, number 1131, the tune Niagara, 877. Hymn 1131. We have thy promise, gracious Lord, thou wilt be where thy people meet. O then fulfill thy gracious word and make our happiness complete. The first hymn.
Thank you.
the bridal party to please stand. We are gathered together here in the sight of God and in the presence of these witnesses to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony, an honourable estate instituted of God in the time of man's innocency, signifying the mystical union betwixt Christ and his church, which holy estate Christ sanctioned and honoured with his presence and first miracle in Cana of Galilee, and is commended of the Apostle Paul to be honourable among all men, and therefore is not by any to be taken in hand unadvisably, lightly, or wantonly, but reverently, discreetly, and in the fear of God, duly and soberly considering the causes for which matrimony was ordained. First, it was ordained that children might be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Second, it was ordained for the mutual society, help, and comfort that the one ought to have of the other, both in prosperity and adversity. Into which holy estate these two persons come now to be joined, therefore, if any man can show just cause why they may not be lawfully be joined together, let him now speak, or else hereafter for ever hold his peace. I require and charge you both, as you will answer at the dreadful day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed, that if either of you know any impediment why you may not be lawfully be joined together in matrimony, ye do now confess it, for be ye well assured that so many as are joined together otherwise than God's holy word doth allow are not joined together by God, neither is their matrimony lawful. Jonathan, would you repeat after me? I do solemnly declare,
I do solemnly declare,
that I know not,
that I know not,
of any lawful impediment,
of any lawful impediment,
why I, Jonathan Philip Collins,
why I, Jonathan Philip Collins,
may not be joined,
may not be joined,
in matrimony to Corinne Allison Bailey,
in matrimony to Corinne Allison Bailey.
Corinne, would you repeat after me? I do solemnly declare,
I do solemnly declare,
that I know not,
that I know not,
of any lawful impediment,
of any lawful impediment,
why I, Corinne Allison Bailey,
why I, Corinne Allison Bailey,
may not be joined,
may not be joined,
in matrimony to Jonathan Philip Collins,
in matrimony to Jonathan Philip Collins.
Jonathan Philip Collins, wilt thou have this woman to thy wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honour and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto her so long as ye both do live?
I will.
Corinne Allison Bailey, wilt thou have this man to thy wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony, wilt thou obey him and serve him, love, honour, and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all other, keep thee only unto him so long as ye both shall live? Who giveth this woman to be married to this man?
I do.
Can you now both just turn to each other with your right hands together? Jonathan, would you repeat after me? I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Jonathan Philip Collins.
To witness that I, Jonathan Philip Collins.
Do take thee, Corinne Alison Bailey.
Do take thee, Corinne Alison Bailey.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death us do part.
Till death us do part.
According to God's holy ordinance.
According to God's holy ordinance.
And thereto I plight thee my troth.
And thereto I plight thee my troth.
Corinne. I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Corinne Alison Bailey.
To witness that I, Corinne Alison Bailey.
Do take thee, Jonathan Philip Collins.
Do take thee, Jonathan Philip Collins.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
To have and to hold.
To have and to hold.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love.
To love.
To cherish.
To cherish.
And to obey.
And to obey.
Until death us do part.
Until death us do part.
According to God's holy ordinance.
According to God's holy ordinance.
And thereto I give thee my troth.
And thereto I give thee my troth.
Please hands up, can we ask for the rings? Jonathan, I give thee this ring.
I give thee this ring.
In token of the vow and covenant.
In token of the vow and covenant.
Now made betwixt me and thee.
Now made betwixt me and thee.
And in pledge of my affection and devotion.
And in pledge of my affection and devotion.
Forasmuch as Jonathan Philip Collins and Corinne Alison Bailey have consented together in holy wedlock and have witnessed the same before God and this company, I pronounce them husband and wife in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Amen. Come now to the second hymn on the hymn sheet in Gadsby's number 320, and the tune Godra Coed hit a tune 925. The second hymn in the hymn sheet and Gadsby's number 320. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. The second hymn. Just read two very short portions from the Holy Word of God, and then a further longer portion. First of all, from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help me for him." And then from the book of Proverbs, "A prudent wife is from the Lord. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." I now would like to read from the book of Genesis, chapter 24. And Jonathan and Corinne, I just want to say publicly that at our meeting Monday evening, I fully intended to read part of this chapter to you as we met together remotely. And as it came closer to the time of reading and prayer, something seemed to say to me, no, leave that for the wedding. And so I quickly found another reading for us to read together. So I feel quite clear to read from Genesis chapter 24. It's a chapter where Abraham sends his faithful servant to seek a wife for his son, Isaac. And the servant, being a man of God, makes it a matter of prayer and commits his way unto the Lord, and then begins to watch the hand of the Lord. And coming into the house of Bethuel and Laban, he repeats his exercises and the things that came to pass. I read from verse 42. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels, let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lehi'ite Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into her mother and to his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Dear Jonathan and Corinne, after all these years, months and weeks, the time has come as the Lord has appointed, despite your various disappointments and setbacks, for you now to be joined together in holy matrimony, as husband and wife. And all of us here present and all who are listening into this service have really felt for you over the past few months. It has been very, very difficult and very trying. But we do hope and trust it has brought you closer together in love one to another. If you don't mind me just saying at our remote meeting on Monday, and we could see each other, I was in my study and you were in your several homes, and I felt so much that you couldn't even hold hands. But still, the Lord has been your helper and has brought you unto this time. This time that you're no longer single, you're now married, and for the rest of your lives, as the Lord may spare you together, a life to be shared as you go forth together as a married couple. Once being single, once having, as it were, your own considerations, now all things must be shared together, as is right before God, a husband and a wife. I was very struck a number of years ago, myself at a wedding, when the minister speaking to the couple, he said the two things to make a marriage is love and sacrifice. Now, we know that you have that love. You've been drawn together, you've been brought together in love, and now united and joined together in love. And I believe that you will find that that love will deepen as you go forth in your married life. That wonderful gift of love the Lord has given, when those are drawn together, it's in love, it's in attraction, desire to be together. Well, may the Lord bless you with that deepening sense of love. And sacrifice. Understanding one another. We might say, not glibly, but giving and taking. Where once you had your own thoughts, you could make your own decisions, now it's together. And of course, like any couple, there's not always that agreement. And Corinne, it does become you now as a wife to obey Jonathan, your husband, in love. And any man who loves his wife will never ask her to do anything that is wrong or that will upset her. And again, any dutiful wife who loves her husband seeks to obey him before God. So a life of love and sacrifice. But then I come to the words which I desire briefly to speak from, which I believe the Lord laid upon my spirit soon after the time, I suppose it was last year now, when you both approached me to ask if I would take or conduct this service. And my mind was led to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 24, and these words from verse 15. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Of course, it concerned that couple, those two walking down from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they were sad, they were distressed, they were perplexed. But the loving Saviour, the Lord Jesus, he drew near and went with them. Now, that is our desire for you, that you might know, that you might prove the Lord Jesus to draw with near and to go with you in your married life together. Oh, how you will need him. And I do believe you both have that desire. Even for the fulfillment of our text, it's not for a minister, as it were, to give a word. But may the Lord prove it to be his word to you for this occasion, that you might know Jesus himself to draw near and to go with you, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. It's a new way for you, a new way as a couple, a married couple. But a threefold cord cannot easily be broken. And how you will need the Lord to be with you. Jesus himself drew near and went with them to guide them. To guide you in the unknown way. Or to guide you in various matters, various decisions. And may you be helped to look to him for guidance, like the dear psalmist when he said, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Now, in seeking the Lord to guide us each, we need that grace to be submissive. We need that grace to be obedient. Not my will, but thine be done. The Lord, he leads his people forth by the right way. He doesn't make any mistakes. Sadly, it's us who as sinners make mistakes. But even concerning the timing of his service, the Lord who is sovereign over all these things, he doesn't make any mistakes. And so often it's looking back afterward, considering what we may have passed through, that we see the wisdom of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the loving kindness of God. Jesus himself drew near and went with them to lead them forth by the right way. And you will need the Lord to lead you forth in the right way. As we constantly prove, we know not what a day may bring forth, but remember the Lord knows the end from the beginning. And truly with our second hymn we prove that God does move in a mysterious way. Man's goings are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way but by faith? Jesus himself drew near and went with them to help them. And you also will need the Lord's help. Every child of God feels that need of the Lord's help. Oh, that prayer of the Syrophoenician, Lord, help me. And I'm sure you both prayed it. But now together, to pray that prayer, Lord, help us. Help us all that journey through. Help us in matters before us. And there will be days of sadness. There will be further days of disappointment. There may be days of distress and difficult days. But remember, Jesus himself drew near and went with them to help them. Oh, he does help. And it's a wonderful thing to prove his help. May you prove it today. May you prove it in the days to come. The help of God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Jesus himself drew near and went with them to keep them. Oh, how we need to be kept. We need to be kept from the spirit of this world. We need to be kept from the ways of this world. We need to be kept from our own deceitful hearts. Oh, how a child of God so greatly feels that need to be kept, and kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, to keep you together. Oh, in this awful, sad, distressing, dark day, may the Lord ever keep you together. Keep you together in love and peace and harmony and union. But when the Lord is there, oh, to draw near, to go with you, to keep you. Oh, to keep you. Jesus himself drew near and went with them to encourage them. And as it was with these two, they were so discouraged, they were so perplexed. But how their heart did burn within them while he walked with them in the way and opened to them the scriptures. And again, it was looking back, it was remembering. Another thing I just want to mention concerning this chapter, as they came to Emmaus and Jesus made as though he would have gone further, they constrained him. They constrained him into their home. Oh, may the Lord also cause you to constrain him into your home, or that you might know the blessing of the Lord. In our opening hymn, we pray for the Lord's presence. May you know the Lord's presence in your home. Oh, may the Lord help you to conduct daily reading and prayer together, not out of formality or duty, but out of that felt need to read together the Word of God, to pray together. Oh, the Lord help you in this. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And that wonderful word, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But that doesn't mean that a child of God at times of trouble and trial and sorrow, sadness, may feel to be forsaken, may feel to be forgotten. But again, it's proving nevertheless afterward, looking back, to see how the Lord helped, how the Lord kept, how the Lord strengthened, how the Lord blessed, causing all things to work together for good to them that love him. Now, to those who love him, and oh, what a wonderful thing it is if there is that love we have toward him, then surely it will be our desire, may it be your desire, for Jesus himself to draw near and to go with you all the way. All the way of your married life together. May you prove his nearness at special times when you feel his presence. At all times, even when you do not feel his presence. But to know the Lord is there. Draw near in his word. Draw near at the throne of grace. Draw near in the means of grace. And we have that word, I'll just conclude with it, in James. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Well, may the Lord grant us each grace to draw nigh unto him. May the Lord grant you both grace to draw nigh unto him now as a married couple. And may you prove Jesus himself drew near and went with them. We now come to the third hymn on the hymn sheet in Gadsby's, number 1003, the tune Richmond, number 212. Hymn 1003 in Gadsby's, the third one on the hymn sheet. Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways, to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. The third hymn. Stand while we seek the Lord's help again in prayer. Most holy Lord God, help us further to come before thee now, thankful for the throne of grace, thankful for access granted even unto the holiest of all. Oh, for grace to bow before thee. We would acknowledge thy goodness, kindness, mercy, and help. And Lord, we commit and commend our dear friends now joined together in holy matrimony unto thee, unto the word of thy grace. Lord, be their helper, be their keeper, guide them in the way. Oh, help them to commit their way unto the Lord, to trust also in thee, and to prove, and he shall bring it to pass. Oh, do bless them abundantly. Lord, remember them this day. And help them, Lord, as they spend a little time with their close family. And go before them in the coming days, weeks, months, and years if spared. Oh, Lord, may they prove this to be of thee. May they prove day by day that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So, Lord, we do seek thy richest blessing upon them. Remember the dear family here and those who listen and friends also. Those who would be here, Lord, but for the various restrictions, and thou knowest, Lord, the effect of these things. But grant to us each at grace to bow before thee, thy will be done. Oh, what grace at times we need to truly pray, thy will be done. So, Lord, do remember us each, pardon and forgive our many, many sins, all that thou hast seen amiss. And now, may the grace of the Saviour, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. We now go to sign the registry. Just been asked to make the following announcements. The bridal party, after signing the register, will re-enter the chapel from the door on my left and make their way down the aisle to the porch. The bride and groom will then move over to the far end of the porch to enable the congregation to pass by out of the chapel. When leaving your seats, those on my left, this side, can walk straight down the aisle, but those on my right are asked to follow to the front of the chapel, across the area where I'm standing now. I shall move out the way and down this aisle on my left. Would you all very kindly then head straight up to the car park, where there will be opportunity for photographs to be taken. The bride and groom would like to have one or two photos outside the chapel and will then come to meet you up by the car park. And if at all possible, please remember to keep at a reasonable distance from those not of your immediate household. Thank you. We now come to the fourth hymn on the hymn sheet, to the prayerfully considered in Gadsby's number 1153, the tune Crimond 851. Great God of order, truth, and grace, fountain of social joys, shine with thy sweet approving smile and crown the mutual ties. The fourth hymn on the hymn sheet, Gadsby's number 1153.